As we stand tonight at the portal of another year, I'm reminded of these simple words in Psalm 104 and verse 26. There go the ships. There go the ships. Now, Psalm 104 is a psalm that has got much to do with nature. And as we have heard the psalm, or most of the psalm read together tonight, it seems that the psalmist is ever conscious of the greatness of his God and the wonder of creation. Verse number 26 conjures up images of a little boy standing in wonderment, looking out at the ships as they leave the harbour. A little boy, as it were, standing in the docks in wonderment, looking at all of these great ships bound for the sea, wondering where they're going, where have they come from, what is their endeavor, what is their cargo, and all he can seem to say is, there go the ships. Overawed by the various ships, dreaming of where they come from and where they're going. And I'm sure we've all seen images of great ships, and some might remember earlier days of the shipyard in Belfast before the days of aviation, a hive of activity, multitudes of ships going out from Queen's Island to all parts of the world. There go the ships. And tonight I want to consider this phrase of Scripture, there go the ships. And as we consider these ships, it seems that they are so small in the great canvas of the ocean that is mentioned in the previous verse. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. And as I have thought about this little text of Scripture over this last week, I can't help but think that it speaks of the vast swathe of humanity. And here we are tonight in this meeting, approaching very fast now the end of another year, entering out in the will of God into a new year on the ocean of life. And there tonight go the ships. Do you ever look at our world and the people in it and wonder where they're going, where they're coming from, what their purpose is, what their destination will be? And as I look out over this congregation tonight, I think about this text of Scripture. There go the ships. We're all on a journey. We're crossing the sea of life. One day we will reach the other shore. And I wonder tonight, where are you going? Who is navigating your journey? Who is captain of your vessel? Where will you be whenever the journey is over? And as this meeting will draw to a close and one by one you leave the building, I'll be thinking to myself, there go the ships. But do you know where you're going? Four simple things that I want to say tonight about the ships. There go the ships. First of all, their classification. The classification of the ships. I'm sure as the psalmist stood that day at the harbour, looked out towards the ocean, surveyed the horizon, saw some ships coming in and others going out, I'm sure he saw all manner of ships, and the ships are symbolic of entire humanity. Various classes, various sizes and shapes and origins, various destinies, some ships old, some new, some large, some small. Some leaving early, some coming in late, some leaving full, some coming back empty. There go the ships. And I'm sure as the psalmist surveyed this harbour scene and saw the ships leaving the harbour, some of them were passenger ships, laden with passengers seeking a new life, maybe emigrating to a far-off country, maybe going to new shores, not content with their lot in life, and seeking and searching for something else. On some of the ships that left the harbour, as the psalmist surveyed the scene, some of them undoubtedly were passenger ships. People entering out into a journey with all sorts of hopes and dreams of a better life somewhere else. I wonder tonight, is there somebody in the meeting and that is what you're like? You're not content with your lot here. And you only think if you could get further and further away from the things of God, and even from this land in which we live, you're looking for something and you still haven't found it. And you're like a passenger vessel, hoping that the future will be bright, hoping that the new year will bring something that you've never known or experienced before, and in the year that lies ahead, you will find the answer for life. Then I'm sure some of the ships were passenger vessels, pleasure vessels as well. And some were just out maybe for a day trip. Some perhaps were going on holidays. Some just out for a little sail, and then they would come back in again, and they were just out for a day's pleasure, or for a week or two in the sun, and going somewhere else, and that's all they were thinking about as they boarded the ship. They were looking, perhaps, for pleasure. Maybe some of you here tonight are just the same. And there's nothing wrong with leisure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. But the problem for multitudes tonight across our world, and this very night in particular, there are multitudes who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here we are tonight in the last day of an old year, which happens to be the Lord's Day, and we're assembled together in this little church building to worship the Lord and to sing His praise and to read His word and to listen to what God has to say. But outside of these walls, there are multitudes, and all they're thinking about tonight is pleasure. Getting their fill. How can I satisfy the lust of the flesh? How can I get a few hours of happiness squeezed out of an old year? And some of those ships undoubtedly were passenger ships. Others undoubtedly were pleasure cruisers. Some of them perhaps were container vessels. Importing and exporting certain wares, filled with material goods to satisfy the needs of the multitudes at home and abroad, container vessels. And it may be tonight that that's symbolic of your life. Buying, selling, getting gain, accumulating more and more and more, bringing things into the home, buying and selling, trying to satisfy your soul with material things. And again, this time of the year can often be given over to materialism. And if only people can have more and more and more of tangible, material, physical things, they somehow think that will fill this emptiness, this void that's inside. Maybe some of the ships that the psalmist saw were fishing vessels. And I'm sure every fishing vessel in that harbor at that particular time had a tale to tell. In Psalm 107, we read these words. And it's interesting, if you're ever in Kilkeel, down at the harbour there, there's a memorial to many of the fishermen who have lost their lives over the years. And on that memorial, that marble memorial, there's a text of Scripture. Psalm 107 and verse number 23 and 24. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Many of the vessels, I'm sure, that the psalmist saw, the ships were fishing ships, fishing boats. Many of the apostles, before they knew the Lord, were fishermen by trade, and the Lord called them to be fishers of men. And I wonder, over the last year, child of God, what you have done to try to win the lost to Jesus Christ. The Savior said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Have you spent your last year or your life since your conversion to Christ trying to win the lost to the Savior and trying to win people to Christ? Some of these vessels were fishing vessels. Some of the vessels, I'm sure as well, were naval vessels. They were going out to do battle. They were launching out into the ocean to fight off the enemies of the Israeli people. Some of them were undoubtedly trying to defend their nation. Others were on the offensive and they were going out to do battle. And again, life is filled with battles. Some of you have had battles to fight over the last year. Some of you have been stricken with ill health. Some of you have been plunged into bereavement. Some of you have had emotional and mental battles to face. But the greatest battle of all is the fight of faith. And I believe tonight, though we can't see it and we're maybe not even conscious of it, that there's a battle going on right now. A battle that is being waged in heavenly places for your soul. And your soul tonight hangs in the balance. And there's a battle going on. And maybe in your heart there's been a struggle and there's been strife within your soul and within your heart. And you know that you need to get right with God. And you know that your sins need to be forgiven. And there's a certain drawing to the Lord and a desire to get right with Him. But at the same time, there's the pull of the world. And then there's the devil as well. And there's a very real battle that's going on tonight. And I wonder, whenever all is said and done, who's going to win this battle? Are you going to get right with God? Enter into newness of life? And then I'm sure some of the ships were merchant ships. For some it was just all about making money. Just making money. Wealth and the accumulation thereof. And some of these ships were just bringing goods into the nation that they might sell them and that the crew and the captain and the rest around about them might get rich. Is all you concerned tonight about wealth, making a living, accumulation of riches? The Savior said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" And then it may be, perchance, that some of the ships were slave galleys. And inside those vessels there were men and perhaps women and young people harnessed to the oars of those galleys. And as the psalmist looked on, yes, he saw passenger ships and pleasure cruisers and container vessels and fishing boats and naval vessels and merchant ships. But maybe he saw slave galleys as well. And he saw ships and he knew inside those ships there are people and they're slaves, they're prisoners, they're bound and they're in bondage and they cannot break free. And our society tonight is full of people that are bound. And fettered. Some by drink, some by drugs, some by immorality. And then still there are others who are bound by their own religion. And some that are bound by pride. And some that are bound by the fear of man. And maybe tonight you're here and you know in your heart that you're not really free. You're not really at liberty. You're not enjoying life in all of its fullness. And life for you is just a drag. It's just an existence. And you're bound and you're fettered and you can't break free. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's loneliness. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Scripture says, "Whosoever committeth sin shall be the servant of sin." Are you bound and fettered tonight by sin? I wonder what sort of vessel, what sort of ship tonight best represents you. The classification of the ships. And then there's something else that I thought about, and that was the aspiration of the ships. As the psalmist looked out and he said to himself, "Well, there go the ships." And he watches them loose from the moorings within the harbor and launch out into the ocean and ultimately disappear from view. He knew that there were men in those ships, men in those boats who had dreams and hopes and plans and desires and aspirations. The majority of them weren't just going out into the ocean and wasting their time and their energy just to float around and to go nowhere in particular. All of them had aspirations. Yes, some of them were going in different directions, some traveling north. Some going south, some east, some west, some somewhere in between. But I'm sure the psalmist asked, I wonder what their hopes are. I wonder where that vessel there is going. I wonder what their aspirations are. I wonder what they're seeking to do and where they're seeking to go and what the purpose of their journey on the ocean might be. What about you? What are your hopes? What are your plans? What are your dreams and aspirations for the incoming year? For life in general? To marry? To to raise a family, to do well in life, and to live to a ripe old age, and to enjoy good health. And then whenever all is said and done, to go out into God's eternity. Maybe your aspirations are a little bit higher than that, and you hope that someday you'll be in heaven. You hope that someday your sins will be forgiven. You hope that someday you'll arrive at the right destination and you'll be saved. And as you traverse the sea of life, with a view to God's eternity, you've got the right hopes and the right plans and the right aspirations. But that might not mean tonight that right now, presently in this meeting, you're saved. Perhaps you've considered following Christ. Perhaps you've got aspirations after God. But you've never launched out into the great sea of an adventure with God. You know, as we think about the aspirations of the ships, those can easily be determined if you know something about the captain and the crew and the cargo. The captain is the one who seeks to navigate the ship. The captain is the one who makes the decisions. The captain is the one who brings out the various charts and looks at the compass and makes sure that the ship is going in the right direction. Who is the captain of your vessel tonight? Is Christ the captain? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the helm? Or is it yourself? Do you look tonight at your life and say, well, I'm the captain of my own destiny. I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to guide and I'm going to steer and I'm going to direct my life as I please. It's my life. It's for living. I'm going to do as I please. And as you go out into the ocean of life and out into the unknown future of 2018, if you're absolutely honest, you do not know where you're going. And that's why you need to give your life to God and to allow the Lord to take control and to allow Christ to be the captain of your vessel. And then there's the crew. It's often said that birds of a feather flock together. If, for example, there's a fishing ship or a fishing boat going out to sea, the crew, by and large, are going to be fishermen. If it's something else, it'll be a crew that's catered to that particular industry or that particular business. Birds of a feather flock together. And generally the people that you desire to be with show you something of what you really want to be yourself. If you desire to be amongst God's people and fellowship with God's people and pray with God's people and worship with God's people, that's a good thing. But if you can't really desire or you can't really even entertain the thought of spending more time in God's house than you have to, is that not evidence of what you really desire to be and what you really are inside? Who do you choose to be with? Do you delight in going to God's house? And furthermore, the aspiration of the ship can be determined as well by the cargo that it carries. By and large, the cargo is hidden from view. The psalmist looks out and he maybe sees containers, but he doesn't know what's in them. He maybe knows that some of those ships are laden with some type of physical material, but he doesn't know what it is because all he can see are the ships as they traverse the ocean. He does not know what the cargo is. But to all intents and purposes, many of those ships could be leaving the harbor empty. Some of them could be coming back into the harbor empty. I wonder tonight, are you empty inside? Are you unfulfilled? Dissatisfied? And here you are at the end of another year in your life's journey and you testify, if you're honest, to yourself and before God, I feel so empty. I feel so destitute. And over the last week, I've been eating, I've been drinking, I've been in people's homes and people have been in our homes. It's been a hive of activity. And I'm still empty. I'm still dissatisfied. And there's nothing really inside of worth or value. There's no real treasures of worth. No pearl of great price. no Christ in my life. Nothing to fill this vacancy, nothing to fill this void, nothing to fill this emptiness. Maybe the cargo that you carry in your life, in your heart, in your mind, is the cargo of a guilty past. A cargo of the fear of the future. A cargo of pain and loneliness. And then for some of you that have been saved by God's grace in your life, there's the fruit of the Spirit. There's love and there's joy and there's peace and there's long-suffering and there's gentleness and there's goodness and there's faith and there's meekness and there's temperance. And beyond the exterior that man sees, deep in your heart, there's a peace that the world can never give. And somewhere along life's journey, you've reached this wonderful place where you've been able to bring Christ into your life. And in bringing Christ into your heart, there's been a cargo of blessings that have come with him. The aspiration of the ships, the classification of the ships, and then, of course, there's the navigation of the ships. The old mariner that stands at the wheel knows that he needs guidance. Every single ship that leaves the harbor must navigate its way from that harbor to whatever haven it desires to reach upon the high seas. Navigation is a necessity. And here we are at the end of 2017, going into 2018, trying to navigate our way across the seas of life. And I wonder tonight, how are you getting on? How is it with you, really? We often ask that question, don't we? Oh, how are you? And we don't even wait for an answer. But can I ask you tonight, how are you, really? How's life going for you? How are you getting on? How are you as you navigate your way through life? You know, navigation is a vital necessity. The captain and the crew and the passengers need to know where they're going. And here the psalmist looks out and he says, there go the ships going all sorts of roads and directions across the sea. But I'm sure all of them have a desire to know exactly where they're going. It's a futile thing to sail into the ocean with no direction. You're almost certain to wind up lost. And so it is in life. Without Christ in your life, without Christ in the vessel, you're certain to end up lost in God's eternity. I read the story recently, or heard the story recently, of Mr. Albert Einstein. As an old and aged man, traveling from his home, as it were, in the United States at that particular time, on a train. And as he sat in the train, the conductor made his way down the aisle of one of the carriages and asked the passengers for their tickets. Mr. Einstein reached into his pocket and took out his wallet. No ticket. He began searching the pockets of his coats and trousers and inside his shirt. Couldn't find the ticket. And then the conductor realized what's happening. He says, Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. And I know that you bought a ticket. Don't worry. Mr. Einstein said very, very little. The conductor went on his way, heard a noise behind him, and there's Mr. Einstein, one of the most intellectual men that ever lived, on his hands and knees, looking for something. Again, the conductor said, Mr. Einstein, I know who you are, and I know that you bought a ticket. Mr. Einstein turned around and says, I know who I am as well, but that ticket tells me where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. And therefore, there was no peace. Maybe you know who you are tonight, but your problem is you don't know where you're going. Navigation is a necessity. Navigation as well can also be an uncertainty. Life is uncertain. It's a vain thing to put too much confidence in the vessel if our navigation isn't right. Every mile we travel on the sea of life brings new uncertainties with it. In the year 1872, in the month of December, on the 5th of December, the great sailing vessel, the Mary Celeste, was found drifting. with a full cargo, 6 months' supply of food, no damage done to the vessel, but all on board had gone missing. And to this day, nobody knows where any of them went. One of the great mysteries of life. Where did they go? Will it be said of you, whenever your earthly remains are left behind, and your family and your loved ones come and stand and look at your corpse as it lies in a coffin and embalmed by the undertaker, and it maybe looks fine, and they say all of the right things, but they wonder, where did he go? Where did she go? Where are they now? Because they're not sure and they're not certain that you navigated your way through life aright. You see, there are dangers of navigation as well. One of the things that caused John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, to realize his own mortality was not far from here, off the coast of northwest Donegal, as he was on a ship and a storm came, and all of a sudden he felt that life was no longer in his hands. And if he died that night, he would be in God's hell forever. And suddenly the fear of God came. The same thing happened to the Reverend W.P. Nicholson before his conversion, as he was a member of the Navy, a blasphemer with a foul tongue, a drunkard, a reveler, a man who just lived for the world. And then a storm came, and all of a sudden he felt so small in the midst of the ocean. And unless God intervened, his soul would be lost forever. You know, life brings its storms. Life brings its dangers. And then with an aged vessel as well, there's all of the problems of ill health, frailty of mind and frailty of body. And who knows, but this could be the last year that you're launching out into. There go the ships. And some of you are not navigating your way safely to heaven and to home. But you know something about navigation? There are aids to navigation. The captain of the ship, of course, has his charts. The charts are vital to make sure he goes the right direction. And we need something, as the captain of the very ship itself, needs something outside of himself to guide him aright. We need the Word of God. This book tonight is our chart. It guides us from earth to heaven. It brings us from our sin to the cross and then into Christ. I wonder, are you using the Word of God to navigate your life aright to heaven? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you need a lamp and you need a light whenever there's darkness. And whenever the way ahead is uncertain. And so it is in these days in which we're living. Days of darkness, days of uncertainty. You need the Bible in your hand to lead you and guide you to heaven and to home. And then, of course, as well, there's the compass. And I believe that whenever a person becomes a Christian, the Spirit of God begins to dwell in that man or woman or young person and begins to direct and lead and guide. And just as the needle of the compass will always be pulled towards magnetic north, it can waver, but ultimately, it will always be pulled towards magnetic north. So it is whenever the Spirit of God is working in a man's life or a woman's life. And the Spirit of God is a resident in a person's life. That person will always be led and ultimately guided to heaven's golden shore. And then, of course, as well, there are the constellations. Back in Bible times, before there was satellite navigation, the stars were often the mariner's best friend. The greatest star of all was the Pole Star or the North Star, the star that shines brightest in the sky. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ shines brightly in the heart and soul of the Christian and shines brightly in the pages of Holy Scripture. I remember listening once to the testimony of Ivan Thompson, the Baptist pastor. He says, as a young Christian, there was an old man that went about that part of Belfast preaching the gospel. He said, from this man's conversion until his aged years, he had lived a life for Christ and seemed to have an unblemished testimony, and he wanted to know the secret of Christian living. He waited behind after a meeting, and as that man was being ushered out to a car by two other gentlemen, he tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, can you tell me what's the secret?" And with that, the old preacher turned round and just quoted the verse of a hymn. He says, "Pilgrim, bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus." The Apostle Paul said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. The great pole star, look to Christ tonight. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God says in Scripture, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there's none else." And then there are the constellations of providence. Things that happen in life that willingly or unwillingly, wittingly or unwittingly guide us down a certain path. Maybe there's a family member who's become a Christian, and that is beginning to influence your life. In fact, you would not even be in this meeting tonight if that man or that woman hadn't been born again or got right with God. And here you are tonight in the providence of God. And God has led and God has guided and God has preserved you and God has kept you throughout another 12 months, that you might ultimately be able to navigate your way to the cross and make a beeline for Christ. There go the ships, their classification, their aspiration, their navigation. And then lastly, and I think some of you'll know where we're going, their destination. The psalmist stands on the seashore and he says, "There go the ships." And I'm sure if he was like me, he was wondering, "I wonder where they're going. I wonder where that little ship over there is headed for. I wonder where that great vessel over here is going. I wonder where that boat there, I wonder what its destination is going to be." And as I look out over this congregation tonight, I say to myself, "Will there go the ships?" All of us tonight are on a journey. All of us tonight are reaching a destination. Some of you know where you're going. Some of you know where you're not going. And some of you aren't sure of your destination. As they loose from the confined moorings in the harbor, they're all traveling different directions, just like this world in which we're living in, and the people in it, all traveling in different directions. But ultimately, every single man, woman, boy, and girl will reach a destination. Some of those ships will be blown off course. The winds of change will change the plans that the captain and the crew have. And they'll be carried off course and end at a different destination than they expected. Some will sink to the bottom of the ocean. They will meet with hardships on the high seas, just as the Titanic that was bound from Southampton to New York City, and everybody expected it to arrive in New York City, got about halfway there, struck an iceberg, and sank to the bottom of the ocean, and suddenly the destination was entirely different from the destination that the multitudes on board expected. Some will be dashed upon the rocks. Some of those little ships going out to the sea will reach currents and waves that are too strong for them, and they'll be dashed upon the rocks and smashed into smithereens and destroyed. And I fear tonight, maybe for some of the young people in this meeting, that you'll get involved in the things of this world, alcohol or drugs or some other thing, and the current will carry you a different direction and you'll destroy yourself because of sin. Sin always takes you further than you want to go. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Some will dock at a strange port, like the prodigal in a far country. Off he went, wandering and drifting in the seas of life, until at last his destination was not the bright lights of the big city that he expected, but his destination was down in the squalor feeding pigs. And then some of the ships at last would return home, safe and well, just as the prodigal son came back to his father. Now 2018 will bring changes for many. But I want you to answer this question tonight. Are you sure? Are you absolutely certain of your destination? Where have you come from in 2017? Where are you tonight in life's journey? Where are you headed? Some of you, if you're honest with yourself, with Scripture, with the God of heaven, know that your destination is a lost eternity. And all I can say to you tonight is turn the helm and steer towards the cross and get right with God tonight in this meeting. I've told the story before. Some of you undoubtedly have heard it several times. It's been written in books and printed in gospel tracts. Ernie Allen wrote a little tract about it himself. Family, traveling across from Ireland to America during the time of the potato famine. The man of the house had sold up his farm, sold up his business, all of his belongings. And back in those days, to transport his wealth across the Atlantic Ocean, he had gone to London to one of the great auctions and he had brought a diamond. And contained in that diamond was all the wealth that that man had ever inherited or worked for all of his days until that moment of time. And of course, he kept it in his pocket. Midway across the Atlantic, he was standing on the deck. It was a beautiful summer's day. The ocean was like a bottle. The ship was making a beeline for America. A little cabin boy was scrubbing the decks, and every so often he would look up and he would look at the various passengers. And then at last he watched this well-dressed man reach into his pocket and take out this huge big diamond. He'd never seen anything like it in his life. He held it up to the sun. He twisted it round. The sun threw its rays out through the diamond in all sorts of directions. And then the foolish man took it in his hand and threw it up in the air and caught it and put it back in his pocket. And the little boy ran over. He said, "Sir, what was that you had in your hand? Was that a diamond?" And the man says, "Yes, it's a diamond," and told him the whole story. "We're going to America. I'm going to sell the diamond whenever we get there in New York City. I'm going to take the money. I'm going to buy a ranch. I'm going to buy a farm. We're going to do well. We're going to make a better life for ourselves in the new country. Everything I have is contained in this diamond." Little boy said, "Sir, if you don't mind me saying, you're a very foolish man to handle it so frivolously and so lightly." With that, the man took the diamond again and threw it up and reached out to catch it, but somehow fumbled, and the diamond bounced off his fingers onto the deck of the ship, rolled across the deck through one of the little holes where the ropes come through, down into the ocean. Gone forever. Some of you say, "What a foolish man." And you're right. But you know something tonight? If you're not a Christian, you're just as foolish, more foolish even than that man was. Because that ship represents your life. That ocean represents God's great eternity. And that diamond represents your precious, never-dying soul. And Lord's Day by Lord's Day, year upon year, for generations, you've seen the generations come and go. And some of you have been gambling with your soul all the while. And what tonight if your soul should be lost in the sea of life? Is it not time that you could right with God? Steered your ship towards the cross and trusted in this wonderful Savior? If we can help you in any way, that's why we're here. Don't leave without Christ. We're going to sing a verse or two of number 604, please.